This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me is my sidekick and my co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary.
Well, we've got an exciting show. It's going to be packed with a lot of great information and some interesting folks. And tell us who's going to be joining us today.
We got Matt Luttrell with the Long Trail Home to talk about his journey and his mission. And then we travel to Pedro, Ohio at the Elkins Creek Horse Campground and Tack Shop and talk with Jill Romanello.
All right, so we're going to have a lot of fun talking with these folks, and Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Matt Luttrell.
Tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seed. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. She cut me loose and told me don't come back. Now I'm like a hobo by the railroad track. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Couldn't grow 'em through these cowboy boots. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Yes, I'm drifting. Till then, I'm drifting again. Let's do some drifting. Here we go. Got the wind in my back. Yes, sir.
That's our friend R.W. Hampton drifting again, and we're drifting out to Socorro, New Mexico to visit with Matt Luttrell. And Matt, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great.
Good morning, Matt.
Morning.
Well, you've got some pretty weather out in New Mexico today, haven't you?
Clear blue skies, as far as you can see. I literally cannot see a single cloud. So it's
pretty
nice.
Pretty part of the country, and we've got a lot to talk about during the show today, and I know that Tina has just been dying to ask you some questions, and so, Tina, why don't you just kind of take off and visit with Matt just a little bit?
Absolutely. Matt, I've been kind of following you and with your Long Trail Home. I love what you're doing. But why don't you tell our listeners, how did you prepare yourself and your horses for this journey you're on?
A lot of groundwork, a lot of just building the relationship with the horse. As far as the nuts and bolts preparing to go alongside the highway, you can't really replicate a chicken truck in Alabama trying to wipe you out. You can't replicate that. So what we did a lot of groundwork, I rope my horses a lot. With a soft rope, give to me, create these little puzzles where, we create the puzzle, but they have to look to us to solve the problem. It's a relationship that we build based on trust. I'm going to save your life is what I want them to think. So, we took him down the road a little bit too. But the main thing as far as preparation is, if I say it's okay, it's okay.
And that's a very important part. And I know people always think about the endurance part of it. And I'm with you. I'm thinking that trust issue between you and your horse, that is the most important part because it can get you out of a problem. And I think that's great that you brought that up.
Well, it's really paid dividends. It really has. I mean, out here in New Mexico, we have wide shoulders. We can get off the road more than we could back in the South. In the South, I mean, there were some parts where we got the white line of the highway and then a foot to work with. And you talk about a little bit of pucker factor when an 18-wheeler goes by. But right then, building that relationship, I trust them and they trust me. And, we can never lose sight of the fact that they are a horse and, they're sometimes, like with Crow, we'll go past 500 flapping bags, but that 501st is the one that's going to kill it. And a horse is a horse. And, they're going to shy, but it after they spook, what happens? And that's the biggest thing for us, come back to it.
And I'm sure you have a lot of people that, they probably see you out there, get excited, and they want to lay on the horns and wave at you, not thinking that you have a live animal underneath you as well. I'm sure that's happened.
Oh, just a timer, 300, I don't know.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you are on this journey and your mission.
Let's see, about me. I was a Marine Corps infantryman from December 2001 to December 2005. I did served two tours to Iraq, the first during the initial invasion during 2003. And then my second one was to the glorious riverside city of Aramati, the capital city of the Alhambra province, during 2004 to 2005. And during that time and on a daily basis, came home and had kind of a hard time coming back. Like a lot of guys out there, came back and it was hard to find meaning in life. I think when you have such a purpose at 22, 23 years old, you're in charge of these other guys. I mean, you're responsible for their life. When you're a senior Marine infantryman, you have these guys underneath you. I have my three guys, and I'm responsible to get them home to their moms. And then we come back, and we're, baristas and landscapers. And it's hard to find meaning in life. And a lot of guys retreat. A lot of guys are come back and they're really feeling isolated, really feeling forgotten. And the latest VA statistic that I heard, and only 22 states out of the union report veteran suicide. But out of those 22 states, we're losing 22 guys a day to suicide. That does not include Texas or California, the largest veteran states we have. And so if we add those in and the other 28 states, then we're looking at numbers closer to 50 to 70 a day to suicide. We've lost more guys to suicide since we've been back than we did in both combat theaters the last decade. And that is a black mark, and it is an atrocity. And this ride got started because one long night in January, I was almost one of those 22. And I spent a long night looking at a pistol on the table in front of me. And I didn't do it. I didn't want to leave my brothers that I fought with behind. I didn't want to force them to go to another funeral that they didn't have to go to. And so I put the pistol down, and I called up the VA crisis line. And I talked to somebody there that was reading a script that truly didn't really seem to care if I saw tomorrow or not. And there's an author in Canadian Texas that, a reporter rather, that wrote about that, told her that story, and she said, I'm not sure what the distance between desolation and fury is, but it was crossed that night in a heartbeat. And she's right. She's absolutely right. I got on that phone call at the bottom of my well, and I got off it on fire. I knew that there was something to do. I didn't know what. I woke up several days later, and I knew I was riding across the country. I knew I was taking a Mustang, and I was going to ride from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. I didn't know, you know, I didn't even own the Mustang at the time, but I knew I was doing it. And it was never, I never searched for that. It just happened. And the right horse came along shortly thereafter, and Crow, my Mustang Crow, and he's my spiritual advisor, so to speak. That horse is in. I am incapable of telling that horse a lie. He will always let me know exactly where I am and requires me to be present. And he is my most trusted companion. It took some work to build that relationship with that horse, but once it was there, he'll do anything I ask him to, if it's fair. I believe he has a very strong sense of fairness, and I like that.
Now, how did he get his name, Crow?
Black as night. He is black. And my uncle, he was an artist, abstract artist, and he always had this huge fascination with crows. And in Native American cultures, the crow is very symbolic. In one of the stories, there's this huge race, and Crow was white at the start, but essentially Crow is responsible for the two-legged animals eating the four-legged animals instead of the other way around. And there's just a strong mystic proportion proportion, so to speak, to the crow in a lot of Western culture. And and he, like I said, he's my spiritual advisor. He's my crow. So he's my magic bird. And he'll fly
me. Sounds like you got a perfect partner there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, he's just one of the seven that we have that I'd take any day of the week. But he will always be one horse that you have in a lifetime. And he's that one horse for me.
That's great. So you're in Socorro, New Mexico. And talk to our listeners. I'm sure there's several people out there that would love to just be a little part of this journey that you're on. And
before we do that, let's kind of take a break, because you're out there, you're back out in the West. You're a Westerner. You're from Colorado. You've been a lot of months out in the East a little bit, and you're kind of getting back home, aren't you?
Yeah, I am definitely back home in the dry, dusty, windy, wide open spaces, and I love it.
Well, you're meeting a lot of folks along your route, and we're going to take just a quick break. There's a song that now my friend and your friend now, R.W. Hampton, did called "Don't Tell Me." And when we come back, Matt, let's talk a little bit about some of the folks that you've met along the way, and then we'll pick up where Tina was going with what's going on in Socorro. But right now we're talking with Matt Luttrell. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And we'll be back in just a moment.
I want to saddle my horse in the darkness, ride out in the morning dew. I want to breathe some air that's never been breathed. I want to drink the wine of freedom, toast the good ones that we knew. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Want to see one more hometown rodeo, or his hat's off for the flag. We'll cheer that bucking horse in the wild ride. I want to shoot a hole in my TV set and let the silence ring on through. I want to count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that sad old song. If you're saying that you missed it all, I'm betting that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Want to see one more Charlie Russell print in some old sale barn cafe, where the old men over coffee tell their tales. I want to ride out with a wagon, smell the scent of springtime sage. I want the wind at my back on down the trail. Want to see suntan cowgirl cheeks and long braids neath a hat. Want to hear the summer rain on the roof at a country dance. Then we'll ride out our raging storm till the light comes shining through. And then I'll count a million stars and think of you. Don't tell me that the West is dead and gone. My poor heart can't stand to hear that sad old song. If you're saying that you missed her all, I'm betting that you're wrong. Don't tell me it's dead and gone. Don't tell me it's dead and gone.
Well, that's "Don't Tell Me" by R.W. Hampton. And Matt, you spent some nights out under those stars that he was talking about.
Just a little bit, and I can assure R.W. that it is not dead gone.
Gosh. Well, talk to us a little bit about, you know, you've met a lot of folks along this journey that you've been taking. And talk to us a little bit about some of the folks that you've met and maybe the impact that they've had on you and the impact that maybe you feel you've had on them.
You know, there's so many. I mean, we've stayed with over 100 people since the start. And there are some where, oh, man, I mean, where do you start? I'll tell you a story. That the very first night, we get there and we're staying at our spot there in North Carolina, and we're looking for a place to stay the first night we ride, the very first night. And we're driving around and we find a spot, and we go in there and we go to talk to these people about staying there the next night. And the lady, Marcy, she opens the door and says, you know, let me ask my husband. And now this is in North Carolina. There is not a whole lot of guys that walk around wearing spurs and cowboy hats on the coast of North Carolina. But it's shocking, I know. But me and Ray, we walk in and we see this guy. He's watching Rio Bravo on TV.
Oh, wow.
And here me and Ray walk in, and he just kind of looks at us like, what is going on here? I got a magic TV. You know? But it turns out he was in the same battalion, same regiment. No, he was in the same battalion that I was in the Marine Corps, but he was about 40 years before me.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And so we go there, and there's this little kid, Brewer was his name. Brewer's in kindergarten, and he hooks to Raymond immediately when we get there. And so I'm sitting there. I'm having a beer with his grandpa, you know, talking about the Marine Corps and all that, sharing some stories. Brewer comes out of the house. He's wearing this Huckleberry Finn-looking straw hat. Got his boots on, saddle bronc rider belt buckle, and he's got a holster on his belt with a pair of garden shears in it.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, how funny.
And Brewer comes out walking up and down the porch, and I swear you can hear like spurs chinging, a rattlesnake rattling. I mean, this kid, he has got some swagger to him now.
Oh, that's too cool. That is too
and
cool.
And he comes up behind me. He, you know, makes a pistol out of his hand, and he says, drop the beer. I go, I turn around and look at him and go, I don't think so. And all of a sudden, this kid puffs up, and I think this kindergarten is going to whip me up and down this porch.
Oh, wow.
But it's just the funniest thing. And, you know, we left. We took a picture with I gave him a silver dollar. And I told him that when he gets to Ogallala, make sure he spends that silver dollar on Sweet Mary and not the buffalo heifer. But he didn't quite understand. I don't know if his grandma appreciated that or not, but, you know, that's what we're doing, creating business all across the country. So.
That's too cool. That's too cool. And
it just went on from there, you know.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
Well,
oh,
that's a great story. That's a great story. What a small world, you know.
What's that?
I said, what a small world. The first place you stay in, and you're at the same battalion. Just
you know,
different.
It's been like that the entire trip. Just the way things have worked out, the coincidences are too numerous to count. There is no coincidence on this ride.
Mm-mm. And things are meant to be. They just seem to fall into place. And I do believe that.
They've been doing it with every horse track across this country.
Wow.
Well, that is great. Well, you finally laid it out in the West again, and I know that you've got a big event that's coming up this weekend. Before you tell me about that, RW is a good friend of ours and his wife Lisa, and when you were on the show back on September the 11th, I think was the first time that you and RW got to say hi to you, but you spent some time together this past weekend, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. They had some friends that had to brand some Coriente cattle up in Cuervo, New Mexico, and they asked us if we wanted to come and take part. So, you know, it was a nice break from the trail, and we said, heck yeah. So we loaded some horses up and headed on over to Cuervo, and I think there was somewhere between 70 to 90 of these little, well, some of them weren't so little, these Coriente calves. And so it was a good time, you know, sit there and really help out. And it was the Houston ranch there, Randy Houston's place. And, you know, it was a lot of good time. And I didn't have a horse that I've ever roped off of with us. So me and Ray helped him on the ground crew and sat there and wrestled calves all day and had a great time doing it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, no, and so you've got a big event that's coming up this Saturday, October the 4th. And talk to us a little bit about that.
What we're going to do is we're at that part in the trip where to really achieve the monetary goals that we want to and just reach as many veterans out there and let them know that we're out here and that we're fighting for them still. I decided that it's time to have a big event, a big ride, a big show of force, so to speak, for these guys, and kind of just get a bunch of people in the same place and raise one voice at the same time and say we care about you. We haven't forgot you, and we still fight for you every day. So what we're doing is we're going to ride this Saturday starting at 9 o'clock in the morning from Escondido Lake, which is just a few miles north of Socorro, New Mexico, and we're going to have a nice little ride. We won't be going alongside the highway for this one. We kind of lucked out. We are actually going to be able to ride, for the most part, along the Rio Grande. So
oh, great.
We'll be riding... Yeah, we'll be riding along the Rio, and we will go through the plaza there in Socorro. And, you know, it's a pretty historic place, actually. One of the buildings was there since, you know, the 1800s. That original bar there in Socorro, back in the days when, you know, real dusty guys off the trail went in there for a little wet their whistle a bit. But from there, we'll go out south towards the rodeo grounds where we'll end our ride for the day and then come back into the DAV, Disabled American Vets Hall, there in Socorro, where they're going to put on a free barbecue and RW is going to come and sing some songs around a campfire there that night, too.
All right. Well,
awesome. And you're riding out at 9 a.m., so they need to get there, you know, 8:30 or earlier, so that they're ready to ride out at 9 a.m. at the Escondido Lake.
Escondido Lake.
This Saturday, October 4th.
Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of parking and all that there. And like I said, afterwards, you know, we'll go to the DAV for a free barbecue, and RW will be singing some songs and... you know, what I'm really hoping for is that this gets us the national attention for this ride and lets as many guys as possible know that we're out here and that we're doing it for
Let's
them.
Let's support our veterans.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's support our veterans. All right, that's awesome. Well, after this ride, Matt, what is your route from there?
From there, we'll continue along Highway 60 into Arizona. And then in Arizona, we'll kind of work our way down from Payson to Wickenburg, and then kind of skirt I-10 roughly into Camp Pendleton, California.
Okay, and so people can kind of follow your Facebook page to let them know where you're going to be at when you're looking for a place maybe to stay overnight, and they can kind of follow you, and somebody's close to there, they can let you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that's awesome. I got a serious note on, I want to ask you, because I know you've got a lot of messages and a lot of good heartfelt messages. What is a message that you want to tell your brothers?
The main message is that their countrymen care about them. That's been proven to us over 100 places. People take us in. They like the horses, but the main people don't just take us in because we're a couple guys on horseback. You know, they take us in because we're doing it to support these guys. We're doing it for the vets, and they are too. That's been done to us has been done for them.
And we've got a young lady that has just come on the line that wants to say hi to you. And Lisa, you want to say hi to Matt?
Hi, Matt.
Hey, Lisa, how are you?
I'm good. I got a little birdie told me y'all were doing an interview today, and I thought I'd call and say hello.
Oh, well, those birdies are accurate.
A little Holt birdie.
Hey, Lisa, were you up at that deal with, did I say a tent? Were you in a tent this past weekend?
I was. You know, Matt and Raymond and Kristen, they sleep under the stars, but my husband has been promising me a camping trip all summer. And so we loaded up and drove about 3.5 hours south to pitch our tents in Randy Houston's front yard. So. But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. We're gonna pitch our tents down there in Socorro, though, too. So that was just kind of a dry run. I think we might actually bring sleeping bags this time, which might make things a little more comfortable.
Yeah, you might want to do that, Lisa. It got down to, like, 38 last night down here.
So. It was 42 here, and I told RW, I said, I just hope you know that I will not be doing this without a sleeping bag this weekend.
Oh, gosh.
No,
well,
it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I think of Matt sort of, I probably mother him, which I'm not sure. He's taken it so graciously. But, you know, one of the things that's really hard is as a Blue Star mom is somebody whose child is active duty overseas, serving overseas, and a Gold Star mom is lost their child in a conflict. And I've always been very proud that of being a Blue Star mom. But what happens as a mom is you get your child back and they're different. And I knew after our son's first deployment to Iraq and Ramadi, that golden city that Matt talked about, our son was there after Matt was, but I knew that he wasn't going to come back the same, but his time there was not nearly as involved as the time that he went to Afghanistan. And he was a platoon sergeant in Afghanistan and was told that he had 51 heartbeats he was responsible for, and he would not be bringing them all home, and he didn't. And in the doing so, he didn't come home himself either, you know, the way we knew him. And he's still in the Marine Corps, and he's just a tremendously wonderful man, and we're so proud of him. But he has his demons that he deals with, and I think I really identified with everything Matt's been saying, and we've been following his page, or I have, since before he hit the East Coast. And so I sort of, even though it's a one-way street, Matt doesn't understand this, or he does, but he probably doesn't realize how many people bond to him because of what he says and how he's very honest and forthcoming with what these guys are going through, and it made me feel like maybe I could understand my son more And in talking since, I've just really enjoyed the little insight into a veteran, you know, what they're thinking and why they're thinking that. And I wish more people had access to more Matts who would open up and tell people why it's so hard. And Matt and I talked a little bit and about the theory of why the suicide rate's so high. And a lot has to do with the ability of these guys to talk and open up and share with other veterans. There's just not as many out there. And part of my theory is that we, because there's so many journalists over there, we have this front row seat, but we don't realize that they still edit things. And so as Americans, we have a feeling of being involved and knowing what's going on, when in reality, we're so clueless as to what's really happening inside these guys' heads and what they're having to deal with and face. And so we have a tendency to sort of blow them off and go, oh, I understand that. You know, oh, I closed down once, too. I went through a divorce. It was really tough. I couldn't talk to people about it, you know. And we sort of trivialize what they've dealt with. And I just think that that's such a shame. More people should be able to be touched by the Matts out there and be understanding and really hear their stories.
Well, Lisa, I appreciate very much you sharing that with us, and I appreciate very much the fact that UNRW have kind of adopted Matt. And Matt, I know you do. I don't know how. I don't know whether you did when you were wrestling those big cows this weekend, but I'm sure it was a blessing to you to get to meet these guys. And we appreciate the fact too, Lisa, that a portion of some of the CD sales have gone to help with Horses for Heroes.
Yeah.
To help our servicemen and women as well. And so a lot of people are not aware of the fact that you guys actually give back that way. But you're also giving back by putting on this concert this weekend. And I know that that's appreciated and should draw a large crowd in Socorro on the 4th, this Saturday. So, Matt, let me be quiet and let you say something to Lisa.
We did have some good conversations, and I'm sure my mom will take all the help Mother and me as possible. Yeah. She keeps trying to, but I keep running off across the country on a Mustang or joining the Marines or something, so she'll take all the help she can get.
Tell her I understand. Understand.
I had a great time up there. It was so much fun to meet you guys and just hang out and relax a little bit. It's good not to be on.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That was really fun.
Well, and Matt will understand. We understand this. Just that the having to share every day with a following the size that is following him across the country. I mean, and obviously our goal is to grow it, because as more people follow him, it builds that awareness, and that's what it's all about. It's not about Matt. It's about what Matt's doing and why Matt's doing it. And the only way we can do that is to continue to promote what he's doing and tell people about it. But it puts Matt in the center of the limelight and in the center of the storm. And so you have this sense of obligation that you have to share something with people. And sometimes life is just not that exciting, and you think, well, what am I going to say today, you know? And we understand that. And then you get the people who feel like they know everything about you, and they know all of your personal, and they know you and all this, and you've never met them. And that sort of does create an awkward situation where the walls can go up. And it was nice to be able to feel like Matt and Raymond and Kristen got to just kind of relax and take it easy. And there were a lot of good people who cared about what he did, but it wasn't about him that weekend. And it was, you know, he was just one of everybody. And that's kind of a nice feeling. If I understand it right, from our perspective, it always is.
that was very nice. Very nice. Just
to be
it.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Sorry, Gloria, they
cast. Well, Lisa, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead, Gary.
No, I was just going to say we're have really appreciate you calling in and visiting a little bit, and appreciate what you and RW are doing to help. And Matt, we appreciate you, and you've been kind to give us a couple of interviews and share with us, and we hope that that has helped draw attention to what's going on. And I'd love to have you back on when you finish this ride to talk
Absolutely.
With us again. Yeah, and kind of, you know, we want to keep in touch with you after it's over with, because I know that you'll go back to a life and of horses, and you said you hope to spend more time on top of one than you did putting shoes on, so I hope that works out for you too.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I do enjoy shoeing horses, but I enjoy making horses too, and I think there'll be something to do as far as making horses after this. So that's
awesome.
The plan.
Well,
and
we
Matt,
appreciate
tell our listeners what they can do to help you with this journey and your mission. You've got a fund going on. Maybe tell them how they can jump on that and help.
Yeah. We're raising money for the Semper Fi Fund. It's an organization that benefits wounded service members, not just Marines, coming back from overseas, guys that need help. And it's not just the visible wounds that they help. 94% to 96% of every dollar that is raised for them to the guys that need it. A great organization. There's a link on the page, on the Facebook page, the Long Trail Home. Donate to the link. You know, get on there, like the page. I pretty much, like Lisa said, I pretty much post every day. Not everything is really interesting, but I'll be on there and, you know, share the page, tell everybody you know what we're doing, and come ride in Socorro. Come show up. You know, I've said it before, we have a tendency to be a yellow ribbon bumper sticker society. The greatest thing that a person could really do, find a local vet, show up, take them dinner, grab a beer with them, let them know and show them that they're cared about. Show them they're not alone. And that right there can keep that pistol on the table and out of that guy's hand. That's
Absolutely.
The important part. And that's the goal. That's what we're doing. We could raise $50 million, but if we save some lives, it's worth it. That's more than money.
Well, it is.
Absolutely.
And again, Matt, thank you for what you're doing. And Lisa, thank you for what you and RW are doing and participating. We've run out of time for this segment of the show. And again, we appreciate your time, Matt and Lisa,
Absolutely.
As well.
All
Look
right.
forward to talking with you soon.
All right.
Yeah, I do too. Just give me a call whenever.
All right, well, we'll do that. We'll stay in touch. And we're going to leave this segment with one of R.W. Hampton's great songs from his new CD, This Cowboy, My Country, and that's My Country's Not for Sale. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Jill Romanello in Pedro, Ohio. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
There's a trail of blood back through the sacred halls of history. Follow it back to where our fathers fought and died. Across the ways, see the crosses on the hillside. On the wind, hear their voices as they cry. We've got to get back to the faith of our fathers and find our way back to the Liberty Bell and never forget that old flag and all she stands for. It's time to rise up and say this country is not for sale. She's not for sale. they're calling, not for sale. From Gettysburg they cry, from Bella Wood to the battle for Fallujah. She's not for sale, no, not at any price. There was a time when we all stood together. There was a time when by fire we were tried, but we've lost our way. It's a way that costs so dearly. It's not too late to saddle up and ride. We've got to get back to the faith of our fathers and find a way back to the Liberty Bell, and never forget that old flag and all she stands for. It's time to tell Washington my country's not for sale. From the Alamo to the sands of Iwo Jima, from Normandy to the Chosun Reservoir, back to Bataan, to the mighty Mekong Delta, from the Helmand Province to the Solomon's bloody shores, they cry, we gotta get back to the faith of our fathers.
From Socorro, New Mexico, to Pedro, Ohio. And Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it. Hello, Tina.
Hi, Jill.
I'm very excited to be on here today. I had a great time with you all just 2 weeks ago, and we did very well on that HR 5204, by the way. It did not get attached, and the law was... It was held over until December to be voted on again. So we'll be addressing it here in a couple of weeks. But thank you for that time and that everyone's support in that.
Well, glad to have you
Absolutely.
On and glad to have you joining us today, and appreciate you holding on during that first segment. So I hope you enjoyed that.
I got in the last half. Very, very much a nice gentleman, just as amazing what he's doing. We definitely need that out there. I take care of my uncle, who's a veteran, and so I meet challenges all the time with that, and totally respect and understand what he's doing.
Well, we appreciate that. And we want to talk about Elkins Creek Horse Campground up there in Pedro. And tell us a little bit about where you're located and how you got started in the horse campground business.
Well, we're located in the southeast tip of Ohio, right in the tri-state area from Ashland, Kentucky, Huntington, West Virginia, and Ironton, Ohio. We're 13.5 miles north of the Ohio River, located in the beautiful Wayne National Forest, also close to the Dean State Forest. Our trail access is just out right across from camp, so that makes it very easy for access. Wayne National Forest is in the Appalachia foothills here, that, you know, you have the hills, and then you'll go into the ravines with the beautiful pines and the creek and rock formations and switchbacks easily accessible, and then you'll look out on the overlooks and the scenic views, several areas as well. There's approximately 50 miles here with a connector trail to the Dean State as well, so close to 100 miles of trail riding that is connected. Beautiful area that people in the, that's traveled here, which they're here from all over the United States today, from Canada to New Mexico to California to New York to Florida. I mean, it's there's 18 states here today, along with Canada, with
wow.
the Saltoe ride. They're having a great time, and I asked them a few. I said, I've got to talk on this radio show. What are some of the things you would say? Well, it's the best-kept secret, and the trails are very well-groomed and beautiful, and they're just highly impressed with the area and the camp, and said the camp was very friendly, and that we were, you know, they enjoyed our host, that we were part, we participate with them, so we are engaged, and they love that, and they're enjoying their time as well. So the area is known for the historical iron furnaces, which helped make the pig iron. And one of the furnaces, you know, there's several furnaces still here. One of the furnaces you will pass on the trail, and it's built in 1856. It's pyramid shaped with large stones, and they would mix the iron rock, the rock that has the iron in it, and burn and use 300 acres of timber per year for each furnace. To melt it down and then haul it out with the oxen and the mules and take it along and then forward it on to make the iron and for the ships and so forth. So it has a rich history of that. Many recreational opportunities here as well as the horseback riding, ATV trails and archery trails, backpack trails, hiking and fishing and hunting, of course. So it's very rich, and a lot of the local towns, the next county over, we have Roy Rogers, was born and raised, and he's on the Muriel flood wall that many people travel to see as well.
Oh, wow.
Robert Dafford. Yes, Robert Dafford painted those. He was a famous artist, and he's painted those murals there along that flood wall. Very historical. And then the Rio Grande area just north of us, about 45 minutes, Bob Evans Farms originated. You know your Bob Evans sausage.
Oh, yeah.
And so forth. So that's
yeah.
of us. So it's all around.
Down
it's a very
farm.
They call it, you know, a sleepy, you know, it's kind of untouched here. It's kind of coming back in town a little bit. And even the area and the trails, you know, it's just not a real high developed area out here in the woods. You know, it's just it's very quiet. You can see the stars, no problem, because there's no big city lights. The hills surround us. And we've got 60 electric sites, 106 stalls at the current, and we just purchased property Friday. And so we'll be expanding to do a few other things as well. But Rick and I both had talked about that had that opportunity ever come up, that we did not want to lose our personal touch and hands-on approach, that, you know, we definitely want to be a part of people's stay here. And, you know, if they come in and got a flat tire, we try to assist them. You know, we're hands-on in that way. So, Rick, go ahead. Gary?
No, that's all right there. I think there was just a little break in the line there for a second.
Oh, okay. Rick was a 30-year Chevrolet mechanic. He's been a lifetime horseman. He's always had a cowboy hat on since he was a little boy. He's a blacksmith and a farrier. He's a man of many trades. We were fortunate enough to work with the National Forest here in partnership with them to maintain trails with the tractor and chainsaw. So the trails are well-groomed, and we continually work on those. We have the Elkins Creek Horse Club that some local persons loved what we were doing, Mike and Kay Shannon, and they came to us and said, let's start a club, nonprofit, and we'll give volunteers to help in this. And there's great movement here in the community for recreation and tourism moving forward. And the community is reaching out and being very supportive. We were just on an emergency run. We help with that as well on the trails because we know the trails. Rick goes out. I coordinate here from the house where they're located. And so we want to help the community in many ways. And through that, we've been asked to hold a St. Jude fundraiser. It raised over $15,000 in its third year this year.
Oh, that's
for
great.
St. Jude Children's Hospital. And then we
that's
had the Ohio University. Thank you. The Ohio University equine dressage team needed to raise money, and so they came out for their national trip, and they did very well, over $1,400. This is their first annual. And then the Kentucky Trail Riders, Tina and Kenny Cantrell, approached us and wanted to have the American Heart Association ride fundraiser. And that was their first year a couple weeks ago, and they raised over $1,400 as well. So continually we're being approached by groups, the organized groups, to have organized things. So we have those, and we're open to those. We haven't had to organize much as far as that. The Elkins Creek Club organizes fun horse shows, and the Ohio University students help with that and gets credit for doing judging and instructing. And so we've been very blessed with a lot of partnerships in making this a success. And Rick had a jaunt out west as a mule guide for the Red Rock Ride in the canyon, and he was working on purchasing this property prior to going out there. He had ridden horses and trail ride and camped all over, and he said, I'd like to open a camp. And so that's how he got started here in 2008.
Well, I was going to ask that. I mean, is Rick from that area originally?
He's one county over, yes, about 45 minutes from here. He was raised here. He rode a lot on the other side of the lake, that area, and, you know, trail rode a lot and grew up in that area, and I as well was from that area about an hour. And so when he came here, you know, you just come up this valley at the dead end, and it's a niche. A lot of people say it's like coming, like feel like they've just come back home, back to the old days, you know, back into the campus set up like an old west town. There's an old west building, and it has a tack shop in it fully stocked for your trail ride needs, and propane gas and ice and shavings and hay and feed if you need it. If you throw a shoe, Rick's a farrier, he can put it on. And we have a cabin that we rent out. It's a primitive cabin. It sits at the end of the property, kind of private and on the creek with a nice back porch swing. And it does have electric, but doesn't have water. We do have city water here with four public showers and flushable toilets and, you know, accommodations for the horses to be easily watered and such. So
okay.
The outdoor arena, of course, and shelter house. So if groups want to go together and cook in there, we provide a grill and no extra charge. And then there's canoes. Some people
we want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk a little bit about Jill and you know. I'm sure that when you grew up, you planned on operating a horse campground. But we want to come back and talk a little bit more about you and Rick and how you got really got started in this thing. We want to take a quick break, and I need to pay some bills right quickly. And the second half of our show is that's kind of important, isn't it? The second half of our show is brought to you by Equestrian Legacy Radio's Legacy Club sponsors. The Legacy Club membership is free, and members receive special offers and discounts available only to Legacy Club members. Members are automatically entered in our monthly and year-end drawing for great gifts. And this month's drawing is for a Savvy Horse Highline system from Camp with Horses, good friends of ours. Our year-end drawing is for a revolutionary portable automatic watering system from Hydro Horse. You can enroll in the Legacy Club and visit and shop with our Legacy Club sponsors at equestrianlegacy.net. And this month, our drawing was for what, Tina May?
A Savvy two-horse Highline kit from Camp with Horses. It's a wonderful, wonderful Highline kit.
It is a great Highline system, and Bill and Elaine are great folks, and they have been good sponsors of ours, and they've donated this. And we had the drawing just before the show, and Sandy Caldwell from Janesville, California, is the winner for this month's drawing for the Savvy Horse Highline system from Camp with Horses. So we'll be getting in touch with Sandy shortly, but that's Sandy Caldwell from Janesville, California, who is the winner for this month's drawing for the Savvy horse highline system from Camp with Horses. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and we're going to find out what Jill thought she would do when she grew up when we return. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
There's a great American hero we all look up to. When the times are hard and chips are down, he knows just what to do. Now a cowboy's got a set of rules that he lives by day to day. If you ask for his advice, he'll more than likely say, if it's a fence, mend it. If it's a dollar bill, spin it. Or it burns a hole down in them jeans. If it's a load, truck it. If it's a punch, duck it. If she's a lady, treat her like a queen. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution just about anything. If it's a job, do it. Put your back into it. All the little bit of dirt's gonna wash off them drains. If it's a horse, right. If it hurts, hide it. Duck yourself off, get back on again. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. An old cowboy and a young buckaroo were working, riding fence. The old hand was testing the kid on his skills and his common sense. He said, son, if you've seen three men in a pickup, dressed alike from boots to hat, could you tell which one was the real cowboy just from where he sat? The kid scratched his head a while and then he said, well, there just ain't no way to know. The old hand grinned and then he said, kid, you still got a ways to go. The real cowboy's the one in the middle. He ain't there just by faith. 'Cause first, he don't have to drive, and then he don't have to mess with the gate. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. He's got a simple solution for just about anything.
Well, that's our friend Michael Martin Murphy's Cowboy Logic. And Jill, did you know that you could tell which real cowboy was which just by where they sat in the pickup truck?
No.
Yeah, just the real cowboy is going to sit in the middle. He doesn't have to drive and he doesn't have to open the gate. So just, that's a fun song. That is a fun song. But anyway, and by the way, let me mention that the American Cowgirl, the American Horsewoman's Challenge starts on October 3rd, this Friday, and runs through the 5th. And Murph is going to be there. He'll be judging the freestyle. Our friends Atan Bethelacme and Templeton Thompson and Craig Cameron and Julie Goodnight and many other folks will be there participating in that event. And that's in Guthrie, Oklahoma. And you can check out their Facebook page, the American Horsewoman's Challenge, for more information. It's going to be a fun time for 3 days. And if you're in that area, be sure and drop in and visit with those folks. But, Jill, I just imagine that when you were growing up, you did not dream about having a horse campground.
No, I didn't, Gary. How did you guess that? No, I actually dreamt about being a massage therapist, you know, but back in the 70s, the father said that wasn't the appropriate thing for a young lady. So, and of course, these days, it's very much so, and so I went to school in my 40s and finished that dream of becoming a massage therapist and share my gift to those who find me. And it means you never let go of your dream, and that was Rick's dream to have this campground, and so he said this is what he wanted to do when the Chevrolet went out here, and I said, well, okay, let's go. here we are today.
That's great. So, and you started in, I think you said in 2008, and then had a tornado that came through.
Yes.
And
March of 2011. And,
yeah.
He stood there the next day, and it took the roof off the place. It caught under a back porch, and it peeled the roof off like a can opener.
Mm.
And then the roof went through the middle of the barn on the other side, so it compromised the barn. And he stood there the next day, and he said, well, I don't know what to do. Should I start over? Or, you know, we've only been in it a couple years. And, you know, at that time, we'd met a lot of challenges dealing with government trails and different things, and I said, you know, I don't really think that the Lord would bring you this far for you to quit on your dream. And I
right.
said, I'll back in whatever you want to do, but I really don't think he would want you to quit, but I'll leave that up to you. And he went over. He was kind of overwhelmed with everything everywhere, you know.
Right.
And he went over and he just grabbed a hold of a board and he just started pulling them off, and he tore the barn down. And it took us a while to find someone to, you know, come in, you know, with everyone had been hit and stuff. But we got the Amish folks up the road, and they come in, and there wasn't any house planned, you know.
Right,
he had to do
right.
all in his head. And he helped them every day. He said, this is what we're doing. And they would follow whatever he said. That was the plans. There was nothing on paper. And they rebuilt it. And it's all rebuilt and back. And we've grown since then, of course, and he's worked very hard, and the two of us make a great team. I'm the heart, and he's the best, and that's how it makes it. There's a teamwork here.
Well, that's great. Well, and so you have virtually a new facility there since it was rebuilt in 2011, and I've never asked anybody this question. I didn't plan on asking this question, but it just came to me. You know, we know how folks feel about you guys when they come up and spend time camping with you, and I'm sure you have repeat folks that come back from time to time to visit with you. But what has it meant to you to be meeting these people that come from all over the country and out of the country?
Well, we are such people persons, and this is just, it's the best. It's you have all of that. It's like going camping every week, every day for the season, because it's a seasonal, you know. And
right.
Rick and I, we just truly enjoy it, all the different people, all the beautiful horses, the unique dogs. I mean, it's just a family. It has become this extended family. I was caring for my mother, and, you know, and we do have the repeats, and we have those who come back, you know, like every month, every other month. They'll travel good distances and come back because they love it here. And it is a family-oriented campground, and we keep it that way, and we keep it safe. And people appreciate that and respect that. And but on the care of my mother, you know, it just surprises you when people notice things. And had a lady come in, and she said, Jill, she said, I've come up here to visit you with your mother, because sometimes I couldn't get down. And she says, it's awfully chilly up here, because you said your mother gets very hot. And she said, I notice you're sitting here with sweatshirts on and this and that. She said, so she makes this thing that's real long, you know, and it's beautiful. And she wraps it around. Lisa and Steve Markley come down. And then just friends, and when my mother just needed help, they just come in. I'd say, now, folks, if you need me, holler up the stairs. They come on in the house. They watch the football games. They cook. It's just a family atmosphere. And we run a tab. It's, you know, it's an honor system here. And just good folks, and it's just like family. It is just like every person that comes here is just endearing and family, and, you know, we make wonderful memories, and those are so important in this life.
Well, it is, and you know, we can talk about horse campgrounds and great trails and great facilities and all of those different things. But I think really the heart and soul are the people that operate, and I had a feeling that just talking with you that was kind of the way it was.
Well, I was raised with a Kentucky hills background in the West Virginia mountains. My family was out of Sandy Hook, Kentucky, and I was born in Ohio, but right here on the river. And it was all about family, and it was all about when someone comes to your door, you welcome in, you help them if you can, you do the best, and you're kind and you're loving, and that's what we try to do here. You know, sometimes it might be a person, I can only think of two, that they were having their issues in life, and you tried to help, and that's all that you can do, you know.
Right.
But I've been very blessed that in the loss of my mother a couple of weeks ago. You know, she's lived with me for 5 years, and family was very supportive, my siblings, and we brought her here, and the couple out back said, you know, Jill, you haven't ridden much, and Michaela, our daughter's got two horses, and Rick's got his mule, and I gave my horse to my niece when I got my mother because I felt like he needed the attention, and they said, our condolence gift, and that's Tina and Kenny Cantrell down at Barn Rock in Kentucky, is a horse. They gave me a Rocky Mountain horse.
Oh, wow.
I was kind of overwhelmed. I said, I'll be brushing him a while. I'm not ready to climb back on yet, but he's not broke, so it'll be a while for that. So, but it's that kind of people. It's not about the giving, it's just the love that you feel from everybody.
Right.
Everybody, you know, when you give, people give back, even though you don't ask and or need, you know, just they felt I should have one.
Well, I think that's great, and I want to excuse me. I want to welcome you to the Equestrian Legacy family. So we appreciate you, spending time with us to talk today, and give us your website.
Yes, it is Elkins Creek Horse Camp at Live. Our website ElkinsCreekHorseCamp.com.
Okay.
And Gary, I was going to send that to you yesterday. We're out here in the woods, and you have satellite only, and we share our Wi-Fi. Well, there's 100 people in here, plus, and they're on those. And I couldn't get out of here. It just sits. I have the biggest package you can get, the biggest upload, download, all that stuff, and I cannot. It just won't. I can't access it. All the customers are on there, and I tried to even today while they were out riding, and it just. It wasn't possible. So I apologize. I did not get
that
to you. But
that's quite all right.
When
that's quite all right.
Happens,
But anyway, we want people to find you, and that's ElkinsCreek.com.
Horse Camp. It's
Elkins
with a S. ELKINS.
Okay.
Creek Horse Camp.com.
Okay.
And our phone number is. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just go ahead and give us the number.
740-643-2416.
Okay, and then you have a Facebook page as well.
Yes.
And
Elkins
then
Horse Camp Tax.
Okay, all right. So you have and you have everything there. I mean, you've got Rick that can put the shoes back on. You've got a tack shop there if they need something, and. And just a real, real family-oriented, great facility for people to come and visit and spend a week or longer and come back time and time again to Elkins Creek Horse Campground in Pedro, Ohio. And, Jill, thanks again.
Interesting stuff. They got a lot of history. Those iron furnaces were very interesting. That was kind of neat, so... You got some really interesting things to see while on horseback. I think that's neat.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, the Shotoe group, who's from all over the U.S. and Canada, as I told you, we're very, very happy and to be here and impressed. And we had a bluegrass show for them before their actual ride started on Sunday. They've been trickling in here for a week. So I invited my family, my sister and two brothers all play, and my niece and nephew, everybody plays. We have a little family band. And
oh, that's great.
My brother, my brother had broke two shoulders somehow, and so he couldn't come. My brother invited two members of the Rarely Heard, which is 10 times national bluegrass entertainers.
Wow.
And the number one fiddle player in the tri-state. We had awesome music Saturday night, and that one fella said, Bob Swick from out there in Missouri, he said, Jill, he said, I have traveled for 16 years with this Sheltoe group and traveled all over. He said, that is the best music I have ever heard, and he really enjoyed that. So we do have the music shows. Those fellas, my family and the Rarely Heard boys are friends of ours since childhood, and we do have music here occasionally as well, you know,
That is great. What do you have coming up? What do you have coming up? Do you have an organized ride for the fall?
Well, on October 18th and 19th and 20th, it's packed, and they'll be coming in, all the Ohio Horsemen Councils and different people from Kentucky and West Virginia. I don't know where all. But they'll come in here for that fall leaf ride, and we will be having music, and there'll be a meal, and yes, so that's coming up in October, and then the end of October we have the Halloween for the kids with trick or treat, and we do all kinds of things like that at the end of the month just to help them out. In November we always have Thanksgiving. Everyone is welcome. We provide the ham and the turkey, and people come in. Some folks don't have family close, and they like to come here and spend the weekend, and we make it a family affair. So we have that as well.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. I know that Tina May was planning on coming up to visit and was going to wait for an oil change until she got there so that Rick could help her out.
Rick take care of that for her.
she may
want to come inside. You know, I need to get some shoes on my horses.
Yeah, I started to say Mocha may be in need of a shoe job by the time he's ready to head that way, too. So that would be great. Well, listen,
You stop by, too. You hear me?
Well, I would love to do that. I would really love to meet you guys. So that'd be a lot of fun. But appreciate you being on the show today and for hanging on as long as you did for the first part while we were talking with Matt and Lisa.
I so wanted to join in on the earlier part. I only caught the last 10 minutes. We had to assist 911 with someone, so I had to leave. Take some maps, the forest called, and so I was like, you know, that was an emergency, but I knew that I would get back here on time, so I'm sorry I didn't get to hear the full show, so, but you guys are great.
It's
I love what you're doing.
Podcast.
Yes, I will.
There's always
will.
A podcast after a live show, and you can always go back and listen to it if you'd like to.
Oh, I will, definitely. Yeah, at the end of this week, everyone will be pulling out on Saturday, and we have some coming in, but it'll be a little quieter come the weekend. I'll be able to sit down and catch up. So bless you all and what you're doing and informing all of us here that love our horses and across the nation, and I appreciate what you're doing very much. You're doing a great job of it.
Well, thanks, Jill, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you. All right. Until the next time.
All right, talk with you soon.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Jill.
Well, Tina May, how is that cold doing?
It's doing good. I tell you what, I didn't have to ask her anything. She covered it all. She's a very good guest.
She's a great guest. She's a great guest. Great information, great facility there in the Tri-Cities area of Ohio.
Kind of saved my time there. That was great.
Yeah. So, we had a great time talking with Matt, and we want to encourage folks to be sure, and if you're anywhere in that area of Socorro, New Mexico, and you can make it out to help support the Long Trail Home Ride, it'll be a great event there October the 4th. They'll have a barbecue that'll be free. R.W. Hampton's going to be in concert, and you can ride with Matt and the folks that are traveling with him on that leg of the Long Trail Home Ride. So October the 4th, that Saturday in Socorro, New Mexico.
Yeah, part of kind of doing history here. I mean, this is a huge event, and these don't happen all that often, so they can be a part of it. They're riding out at 9 a.m. at Escondida Lake, and all they got to do is just show up, saddle up, and ride.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised that you haven't started loading the trailer to head out yourself.
I'll tell you what, it was tempting.
Yeah, but I think you're still recovering from the Brush Creek trail ride.
Butt Creek trail ride, the St. Jude's ride. It was great.
Yeah, so they had a lot of fun down there. They raised over $80,000.
$91,000.
Mm-hmm. That's great for their 16th year. And Dina May was right there in the midst of all of it. I think she jumped in front of a TV camera, and so she was on the local news down there in that part of the state of Tennessee. And check out her Facebook page, and she posted a lot of pictures from that ride. So where are you headed next, Dina May?
I'm going to go to Michigan for the Lope for Hope ride, which is a great organization to help women fighting cancer. And it's up in Fremont, Michigan.
And when is that one?
The ride is October 11th, and it's at the Double J Ranch Resort in Fremont, Michigan.
Okay, and so I think we'll be talking with some of those folks in the next week. And so that's another great ride that will be taking place. We'll have some more great guests joining us. Next week on the show, we'll have Jim McGarvey with Backcountry Horsemen of America that will be joining us as well. So a lot of great folks joining us on Saddle Up America on Tuesdays at noon Central Standard Time. And this Thursday on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, we're going to be talking with Mike and Doris Merritt. Doris was part of the terrific country group, The Girls Next Door, with some tremendous hits that they had. And Mike and Doris now have a music ministry. So we're going to be talking with them and playing some of their great music. And then we have a friend that is a radio host, and that's Becca Salmon. And she's going to be joining us on Thursday. And we'll be talking about Alabama Horse Talk. And visiting with our friends over there. So a lot of great shows that are coming up on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Tina May is going to keep us up to date on some of these fall trail rides, and I may catch up with you back here in Tennessee when you come back a little bit later as well.
Well, I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Look forward to doing that. We will want to remind folks again about the Legacy Club. Membership is free. Visit EquestrianLegacy.net. You'll receive great discounts and special offers from our Legacy Club sponsors. You'll be enrolled in our monthly and year-end drawing for some great prizes. And so check out our website, EquestrianLegacy.net, to get involved there. So, Tina May, any closing thoughts?
Yes. Saddle up.
All right. So we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
ragged sky and a waning moon. Next thing you know, the sun will shine. See a double rainbow through the pines. Oh, won't you wait a little while before you cry? Mountain stone, true love is life.